T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome into Thursday in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Glad you are here. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. Here in what's supposed to be kind of a dead time, but it's not so dead. Stuff going on, especially today. So here's the thing. I was at a local, I'll call it a sports bar, but one of the big wing places, you know, for lunch at about 11 o'clock.
That narrows it down a little.
There's a few. There's a couple
Just a
at
few.
Least.
That's right.
And so they've got, I mean, they've got 50-plus TVs in there, you know. And they got the real big ones, and then they've got smaller ones. Every large television in the place is on soccer.
This is a soccer town. We know that. Greenville's about to get their own professional team. And Upstate is it.
The U.S. Open's on. I mean, coverage began pretty early, like 10 o'clock this morning on FS1. And that's on a bunch of the small TVs and then, you know, other stragglers on a couple of TVs here and there, trivia and whatever. Yeah. And not only that, Russia scores the first goal. They're playing Saudi Arabia.
That's right. Yeah.
They score the first goal for the World Cup for 2018, and the place goes crazy. People are in there watching the World Cup and cheering for Russia.
Did you happen to notice that those people had any southern twang to their speak?
Well, I didn't speak to them, but I, you know, anticipated this question.
Do you hear a lot of da? I'm just saying.
On the way out, and they were kind of shielded from me. It was kind of divided in half, and I couldn't really see them over the wall. But on the way out, I walked by them and checked out the crowd that was really loud over there. And it was a real mixture. Now, there were some kids in there with jerseys on, maybe soccer jerseys. But they were Russian soccer players. I mean, why are people cheering for Russia? Help me with that.
We do have a contingent of Russian immigrants in the area.
I know. Yeah, I got that. I thought I might go over there and see like some guys, you know, that work together at a company and they're, you know, from Russia. We have all kinds of people in Greenville now. I get that. But nobody in there is paying attention to the golf. Nobody. It's all soccer.
You sound disappointed. I mean, would you rather they've been cheering for a great golf shot? I wouldn't go to a sports bar right now because there's nothing for me. So,
no, I don't care if they like the golf or don't like the golf, but if you're going to be cheering for the World Cup, is there somebody we could pull for besides Russia? Maybe.
I mean, well, Russia is no longer our hated enemy.
They're not our hated enemy. Do we like them now? Is that the thing?
Maybe in this generation, it's all about love. It's all about support. It's all about making amends. And
maybe they appreciated the athleticism. And was it a good shot? I mean, was
They scored again while I was there. I mean, they weren't both great shots. They were just goals. And the place went crazy. So, you know, I can say is clearly I don't know anything.
Could you tell how long they had been drinking?
They weren't driving. Most of them were, I mean, you know, there were kids in there. There were adults in there, but they did not look like a big party crowd. It was 11 o'clock on a Thursday morning.
That doesn't matter for some people. I was just curious how many glasses were sitting on the table.
I agree. This is the equivalent for some of those type of fans that people take off work for the NCAA tournament.
They're here, man. I'm telling you. Those fans are here, and they're into it. Yeah, they are into it.
And I think you've got to give a little bit of credit to some of the sports bar establishments that they're recognizing that and making it an environment where it is conducive. Because 10 years ago, you have to go ask for them to turn the TV on to a soccer match.
Well, I remember 4 years ago, we talked about this. We had just come on the air. That was our first year on the air here on ESPN Upstate. And, you know, World Cup was a pretty big deal. Of course, the U.S. was in it. But there was a goodly amount of interest. We talked a lot about how it was growing. Man, it's grown a lot since then.
Yes, it has. And so when I was driving over here, I'm just flipping through channels on the radio. And we know Fox has FIFA, the World Cup on TV, but it's also on radio as well. And they do other soccer matches throughout the year in the European leagues. So this is nothing new. But it just made me think also, it's one thing watching the World Cup on TV. How many people actually sit and listen to a soccer match on the radio?
Yeah.
Because that's a little bit difficult for me to try to follow the match on radio.
Now, see, one thing I disagree with you, if Greg McKinney was calling the soccer match, it would be color in your mind. So I think it depends
on... vivid picture, is what you're saying.
It depends on who's calling the game. The good ones can make anything sound good, even soccer.
Thank you, Lonzo.
Where did he come through with all of this kissing up all of a sudden here on Thursday?
There is no advantage to me kissing up. I was being serious.
I have some dirt on him, and he doesn't want to
something.
Share.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard him call a game?
Because when you were gone, I promise you, he was not saying those type of words when you were gone. Man,
no,
we had to.
I got it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was worried. I was going to have to jump over there with the dump button.
No,
sure some of those cuss words.
That's why when
there.
I had jury duty on Monday, I did not let you guys know until 4:05 because I knew it would just create a whole segment about me.
That was comical, Lonzo, is that we didn't hear anything until like 4:02 when we're off the air. All of a sudden, we get text messages.
I don't want to be a segment on the show. That's all
since
I'm
you were listening, you were, and it had nothing to do with me.
Well,
It was him. It was him. He brought up. He's like, you know, Greg probably got dismissed like within a half hour. Like he just took the day off. Yeah,
20 minutes. No, it wasn't quite that bad. Not quite. But I did intentionally
8:35.
Hold on. I didn't even show up over there at 10 o'clock. Stop it.
Oh, okay.
So it was 10:10.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But it's difficult to listen. I guess my point is that it's one thing to watch soccer. It's another thing to actually listen to it on radio. But I think there is a contingency of people that it's right now.
I'm just saying don't underestimate it, man. I mean, here locally. And I knew that, but it just kind of came home again today. Yeah, I thought, you know, maybe 50-50 on the U.S. Open and the soccer. Not even close.
Not even close.
No. No.
Well, I think golf is such a niche.
It's a major, dude. It's a major.
I understand, but we're in sports. For a lot of people, they could care less. And the only reason that there was an uptick in golf viewership was because of Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And you could throw Phil in there. I mean, he was entertaining, but, again, it was all about Tiger.
Nah, yes, but I mean,
This was game one of the World Cup. It's every 4 years, so
I know
there is a little bit of the same type
Russia and
of,
Saudi Arabia, man. I mean, come on.
Listen, you really have to love the sport to watch when your team's not. It'd be the equivalent of watching the Cleveland Browns play. Who's another really bad team in the NFL?
Hey, there's a lot of people
Buffalo.
That will watch.
So Cleveland
just the NFL.
Versus Buffalo, and you're watching and you're cheering just because it's your favorite sport. It's
would
the same
cheer?
Sort of
if
thing.
If you were in a sports establishment and Cleveland and Buffalo are playing, would you be jumping up and down cheering no matter what happened?
No.
If Cleveland won the game, it would be pretty exciting because it hasn't happened in a really long time.
That's
but.
A valid point, G-Mac.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just it instilled that point that I knew it. I knew that it was big and that, you know, we were making fun of something that's really big. Yeah.
But it surprised you then.
But still, that kind of drove it home today,
And was it more so that it's surprising that there were fans into the game or just because they were into that it was Russia?
Both. It was both. But yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I didn't even know who the first game was. And I said, who is this? And the abbreviation for Saudi Arabia is something you would never recognize. It's something like SAS or SSA or something. I had to look on my phone to see who Russia was playing. Anyway, we have a lot to do on the show today. We will get to the other big thing going on that everybody's ignoring, the U.S. Open at Shinnecock in New York on Long Island. More from Dabo on the NCAA changes announced yesterday. Going to hear from Deshaun Watson today, Houston Texans. Saying he's good to go. And Adam Schefter talking about how big that is for the Texans. Three questions coming up, and we'll hear from Tom Hart. Talked to him earlier today, so it's a recorded interview I did with him. He is going to be calling much of the College World Series in Omaha, so we'll get his thoughts on that coming up. Let's go ahead and get a call on early today here because we've kind of gone through the first segment talking soccer anyway. But let's get Brian in here first. Brian, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. What's up?
I've got a bone to pick with my favorite coach, Dabo.
What do you do now?
Listen, I mean, I'm sure you guys heard the interview yesterday after the, I guess, the mini camp or whatever, the summer camps.
Yep.
And, you know, they were asking him the questions about Hunter Johnson, and he said, I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember exact words, but he said, you know, that he's a great kid. He's going to be a NFL player. He's going to play a long time in the NFL.
Yep.
Just a bunch of praise, which I, by the way, I agree with 100%. So I wanted to ask him, if I was there, I would ask him if he's going to be an NFL quarterback, why wasn't he starting last year? Because we know the one that was starting last year is not going to be an NFL quarterback, which drives home my second point as to how on earth this is even a competition going on in Clemson right now. I understand the coaches being diplomatic and keeping their opinions close to the vest, but you have half the Clemson fans, I don't know if they don't watch football or what, that think that Kelly Bryant should 100% be the starter.
Yep.
Does nobody realize last year that Clemson was 60th or 70th in the country in yards per play? That if that defense hadn't played the way it did, they were like an 8-4 football team. And you finally got someone that everybody believes is going to be this unbelievable player that kind of should save the day, basically, from this atrocious offense. And then they act like, well, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. How do you not know who the quarterback's going to be? One guy's going to be a first-round NFL pick, most likely. The other guy won't play in the NFL, that quarterback.
Yep.
It just blows my mind as a Clemson fan. It absolutely blows my mind. Not at the coaching staff, because I understand. I'm sure they see what's going on, and they're trying to be careful with their words or whatever.
But they'll make the change. They'll make the change.
But the fans, it drives me crazy. Yeah. I mean, they automatically assume that since we made the playoff last year, well, obviously the offense must have been good. No, the offense was pitiful. We scored against the best defenses we played all year. We scored 6 points against Alabama, 14 against Auburn. We had 7 points against Boston College going into the fourth quarter, when luckily our defense held their offense to absolutely nothing, so their defense wore out. I mean, the offense was pitiful. I just wonder what people are watching. I don't understand. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I think Hunter Johnson should have been the starter last year. It would have given us a better chance at the end of the year.
Brian, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, and I'm with you, by the way. Since he brought it up, let me go ahead and let you hear what Dabo said about Hunter Johnson. It's part of this segment that I pulled off here. He's also talking about the NCAA changes, the red shirt, the transfer stuff from yesterday. But it gets into Hunter Johnson on this little piece of audio that I have for you. So you can listen to it and tell us what you think. Here's Dabo from yesterday, starting off on the changes that the NCAA made regarding the redshirt rule, that you can play 4 games and still redshirt, and freeing up transfers. Here's Dabo from yesterday.
That's awesome. I mean, are you kidding me? The fact that you have a chance to, you know, maybe play a kid that you do know you want a redshirt, but maybe it's a home game or something and you get an opportunity to get them a little bit of experience. Or maybe you got a guy that's just not ready, but all of a sudden you have a couple injuries, and by the end of the year, maybe you've got 3 games left, you know, and a guy can play and finish it out, but yet not lose a whole year of eligibility, or maybe something in the bowl situation, you know, where maybe you've gotten injuries or whatever, you're down on your depth, and here's a kid that maybe hasn't played all year, but he can help you in the bowl game. So I think it's great. I think it's great for the health of the student athletes, and just you know, all those other reasons we talked about.
Also, a rule that players don't have to—you can't limit where they can transfer to now. That they don't have to ask permission.
Yeah, that's. I think everybody knew that was coming, and I think that there's still some order. You know, guys still have to sit a year, but. You know, go wherever they want to go. That's kind of what was coming down the pipeline. So, did I guess that passed today too? Was that part of that? I literally have not seen anything. So, that's not surprising.
Have you talked to Hunter Johnson at all since he made his decision?
I have. Official? Yep, talked to him the other day. Talked to him and Coach Fitz. I'm really glad it worked out that way. I think You know, he told me early on that that was probably what he was going to do, and I reached out to Fitz. I mean, I got a lot of respect for him. He's a friend, and you know, just it was a tough decision for Hunter. I'm not surprised that we have a quarterback who's decided to transfer. I was just surprised at the time. I really felt like if anything happened, it would probably be after the season. But, you know, I mean, it's just what he felt like was best for him and what he needed to do. And, but he's an unbelievable talent and player and going to be a pro. I mean, he'll be a kid that's going to play this game a long time. And just a guy that I'll be connected to forever. We'll be friends forever. I mean, he's one of the best, truly one of the best players and one of the best young people that I've ever been around. And so we're going to miss him, but wish him well. And I know he's in a good place that I think he can achieve his objectives and goals. And we'll pull for him all the way through and can't wait to watch him be successful.
Fitz, by the way, is Pat Fitzgerald, coach at Northwestern. That's where Hunter Johnson is transferring. I think Brian has a point with the call. One of the best players he's ever been around, and he couldn't get on the field. Now, you know what I did? I just assumed that he couldn't win the job, and the coaches know what they're doing. They've been pretty good at this. He just didn't win the job, so was he an underperformer? Or is he what Dabo just said he is? I guess he can still be that, but he wasn't that at Clemson.
Yeah. I think it was more indicative, and we talked about this, I think, while you were gone, is that it's more indicative of not Kelly Bryant or Hunter Johnson, but Trevor Lawrence.
Well, last year it wasn't.
I know it wasn't, and I was one of the guys who was saying that I felt Hunter Johnson should have been playing. So I agree with Brian from that side of things, that I didn't see the admiration for Kelly Bryant when you saw some of the times that he struggled, but it was one of those things because the defense, as Brian has mentioned, was overshadowing the inadequacies on offense. And at the end of the day, though, what do we look at? The number of wins. Are you winning the games? Are you advancing? And they got to the...
Man, you could win at Clemson at quarterback last year. All right, I'm exaggerating.
Yes, let's be realistic.
Really? You look at that? Yeah, I mean, they would have played Hunter Johnson if he was ready, right? They would have played him if he was ready to start last year, wouldn't they?
I would think so. And you saw against Syracuse, if you remember when Kelly Bryant went out, it was Zarek Cooper.
Zarek Cooper.
That came in.
Yeah.
It wasn't Hunter Johnson. And I get that. So are you looking at, is Hunter Johnson?
He didn't get there. He didn't get there yet. That's the way you have to look at it. Nothing else makes sense. He just didn't get there in practice.
So something was amiss with the coaching staff. And I have a lot of confidence in the coaching staff at Clemson that they can evaluate talent. Now, can Dabo be maybe a little bit too loyal at times? Probably so. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. But something wasn't triggering those coaches to say, this guy can come in and lead this team. I think it's just the opposite, though, for Trevor Lawrence. And I think that's what Hunter Johnson probably was seen.
This year's about Hunter or Trevor Lawrence. I got that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no place for him. He's not going to be number two. It's going to go straight to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, last year, the only time that the Syracuse game, I get it, Clemson lost, but they still were able to get to the college football playoff, and there was some exposure against Alabama. Well, it boiled down to two plays. It was 13-6 in the third quarter. And then you have the sack and the fumble and then the pick six.
He didn't move the ball, though.
I know, but they were still in the game at 13-6.
Okay, because of the defense. But
that's
but
right.
He didn't move the ball.
I know. And that, to Brian's point, is what I'm talking about is that your defense was able to keep you in those games, and it overshadowed some of the offensive inadequacies. But then once you face a team like Alabama, and then when you have two pivotal plays like that back-to-back, the offense wasn't built to be able to come back against a defense like that.
No question.
But it was too late at that point.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, I was kind of, as I pulled off those comments from Dabo from yesterday, kind of surprised that he was so glowing about Hunter Johnson. I mean, a little bit. I mean, if the guy can't be the number two quarterback,
Yeah, but you would expect him to be negative?
Not negative, but not that, hey, this is one of the best players I've ever coached.
Yeah.
Well, put him on the field then.
He didn't say necessarily best player from an athletic standpoint. There's plenty of guys that can play in the NFL for a long time. Charlie Whitehurst played in the NFL for a long time.
He didn't sit on the bench at Clemson for years.
No, he did not. Now, there was nobody else around Charlie Whitehurst, and we know that. And I still argue that, can you imagine Charlie Whitehurst with this type of defense and some of the weapons that Clemson has now?
Mm-hmm.
He would be the most prolific quarterback in Clemson history.
Well, it's interesting. I think Brian made a good point. And it surprised me a little bit. But anyway.
Dabo's not going to bash anybody like that.
I don't expect him to bash him. It's just a little bit over the top in the praise. Just that much.
Hey, this world needs a lot of praise.
844-477-3776. We'll update what's going on at the U.S. Open. Scores are going up, up, up. That's what's happening in the first round at Shinnecock Hills. That's next. Stay with us, just underway in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo off the text line at 71307. Texter says, I think it's so funny that all these Clemson fans hate Kelly Bryant so much when, regardless, he didn't play horrible and they really think Trevor Lawrence is already a number one draft pick and he hasn't even seen a real college defense. Ha, ha, ha. Spurs up. I thought it was Clemson fan until the end there. No, look, I mean, is this about hate for Kelly Bryant?
No, not even close. This is not about hate for Kelly Bryant.
Right.
Kelly Bryant is a very serviceable quarterback and helped lead the Tigers to the college football playoff, the Final Four.
Yeah. I disagree with you. I think it is.
Why?
I don't know if it's hate. It's extreme dislike. I've heard a lot of Clemson fans last season couldn't wait until Trevor Lawrence got there because they could not stand Kelly Bryant.
Because they want a guy that can throw it down the field.
Yes.
It's not hate.
You're right. This guy lost you how many games? He lost you one game.
I know.
And here's wins, man. What do you do? lost you one too many, actually.
Well, that's true, too, if you count.
Lost two. Yeah.
He lost two, but one too many.
Of course. The problem, Kelly Bryant was in a no-win situation outside of the only way he could actually have Clemson faithful support is by winning a national championship.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
See, even if he did, they would have said
no.
Clemson
no.
won
no,
despite
no, no.
Kelly Bryant. Oh, definitely.
No
He'll
way.
Be
a hero.
Definitely.
No.
He'll
be a hero.
He would not
be Deshaun Watson.
No.
And that was the problem.
Not.
He could never be Deshaun Watson. And that's where the rub is, and that's where he was backed into a corner. He had no way out other than winning a national championship, and he still wouldn't be as admired as Deshaun Watson, but at least he would get out of the boxed situation of where you're seeing some of this, I don't know, whatever, the negativity towards him and that he's not a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's just not an elite quarterback that we saw with Deshaun Watson. And that's the comparisons that are being made. And unfortunately, we're hearing all of this about Trevor Lawrence could be the next Deshaun Watson. He broke Deshaun Watson's records in the state of Georgia. So he's the heir apparent here at Clemson now.
Look, the stats tell the story. I know stats can be misleading, but give us the touchdown stats for Deshaun Watson 2 years ago, and Kelly Bryant last year.
That's obviously the most eye-opening. Kelly Bryant last year had 13 touchdowns.
Passing.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson had 41.
Oh, come on. This is not five or six more. I mean, 13 for a season. And that's why Clemson fans are frustrated.
See, if
and
I,
they
of
have
course.
The right to be.
And if but Deshaun Watson at... also threw almost 200 more times than Kelly Bryant. So it's a different offense. Kelly Bryant ran the ball more.
Got that.
I was going to ask you, how is the running game? Because a lot of times when touchdown throws are down, you look and see that you've got a better running game. Clemson had to score points. They scored more than that amount of touchdowns. How did they do it?
They scored more in the running game. But listen, Deshaun Watson ran for 1,000 yards 1 year. Yeah, I mean, you didn't get
not
up.
Not the senior year, though.
No, not the senior year because they didn't lean on him as much there.
That's right.
And then they didn't have to.
Exactly. And that was the beauty of it. They didn't have to. Because they had the running game, where last year they really didn't have the run game. Well, I would say I didn't think that they tried to utilize the running game enough. They went the safe route and reverted back to what we saw a lot with Taj Boyd. It was, can Taj throw it downfield? If not, he would run. Or there was a lot of times it was a run first play for Taj, and that was it. And we saw a lot of that with Kelly Bryant as well.
It was a dramatic difference offensively last year from the year before. Dramatic. Defense was great, and it got them to the playoffs. But then you face elite competition, and you need the offense going too, and they didn't have it.
They didn't have it, and especially, like I said, it got magnified when you have pivotal plays that happened, and the offense, because they didn't have the capability of making explosive plays, they weren't able to rebound from those plays that Alabama made on defense themselves.
Right. There was no coming back.
There was no coming back, no, because the offense wasn't built that way, where with Deshaun Watson, as a Clemson fan, I always felt...
You got a chance.
Got a chance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Had a chance.
Yeah.
Because of how the offense was built.
Yeah, and nobody's arguing that Kelly Bryant is Deshaun Watson. It's just that Clemson fans want that explosiveness back. And
they
I don't think they're wrong for wanting that.
Because they were clamoring for it for so many years, and you saw it coming about with Chad Morris and Taj Boyd, what they were able to do, and it just continued with Deshaun, and there was obviously a step back with Kelly Bryant in terms of the explosiveness downfield.
Right. I want to get to the golf, but we'll take one more break first. We'll update the leaderboard, the U.S. Open, when we come back. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. So at the U.S. Open, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, Southampton, New York, round one underway. And the leaders tied for the lead are Scott Piercy and Ian Poulter, along with Ted Potter Jr. and Sergio Garcia. Interestingly, Piercy and Poulter have finished their first round, and Sergio's played one hole. And they're tied for the lead.
Hey, it's a great start
for Sergio.
It's great. Yeah, he birdied the first hole, but he should quit now.
Yes,
based on what we've seen so far today. So 69s for Piercy and Poulter, and Ted Potter has only played three holes, and Sergio's played one. They're both one under. Brian Gay is at even par. Let's see. You got a bunch of guys at even par. Not any big names there. Just looking down the leaderboard for some people. I mean, it's a bunch of guys that a whole bunch of people don't know about. Justin Rose had a 71 today, and that's not bad. 71 is a plus one for Justin Rose, so he has finished his first round.
Yeah, and that's what this course is, a par 70.
Yeah.
It's not 72, so you start seeing some of these scores.
Right.
Got to remember that.
Patrick Reed won the Masters. He's at plus three. He finished with a 73 today. Matt Kuchar was the leader for a while, but he's fallen back to plus three after 17, so he's going to the 18th. Same thing for Ricky Fowler, going to the 18th at three over par, which is okay right now based on what we have seen. Because here's the story about some of these other guys, some of the names. Well, Bill Haas of Greenville, plus six, going to the 18th. But that's not as bad as some people have been. Phil Mickelson finished with a 77, 7 over. Bubba Watson finished with a 77, 7 over for Bubba. Jordan Spieth finished with a 78, 8 over par. And Rory McIlroy finished with an 80, 10 over par. I mean, I'd say he's already done, but I mean, somewhere around par is going to lead this thing, but it's not good for Rory.
An 80.
80 for Rory today. Unbelievable. Just tough, tough, tough sledding for these guys today.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of, obviously, we know the course is very difficult and long, but then it's the weather that's having a huge impact.
Winds.
Yeah. Yes.
Lucas Glover is just teeing off, so he should probably just not go out there and he could be among the leaders.
Exactly.
He's teeing off right now. And Tiger Woods is about to tee off in the next 5 or 10 minutes. So we'll get to watch him all afternoon. Good luck, Tiger. After seeing that, you'd be thinking, oh, man. Because it's supposed to get worse in the afternoon.
That's conditions. Right. That's what they were talking about. In the morning, it was supposed to be better than the afternoon.
Yeah.
So is there an aspect of, if you're one of the guys that's getting ready to tee off, does that already mentally put you in a different mindset? That
it has to. You have like, to get
kind man.
Of defensive, don't you?
Yes, just say, I think so, too.
I don't want to blow up here.
Like it has to put a little bit more pressure.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy was plus 10 after 12 holes today. That's crazy for an elite golfer.
I don't think that was just wind.
No. I mean, there are some tough, tough holes out there, and conditions are not good either. So it's going to be low scores that win it, obviously, and minus one leads the U.S. Open right now. I thought this was interesting, too. Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas yesterday were asked about the playoff. They didn't know the playoff rule. It's a two-hole playoff.
Yeah, and didn't that just change or something, right?
Yeah, it just changed. And so listen to Spieth and then Justin Thomas as they are informed of that fact.
What do you think of the USGA decision to go to a two-hole playoff to decide?
It's the first I've heard of that being an option.
Really?
Sorry? Is it? It's still 18 holes, right?
No, it's two.
Oh, it is two.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know. What do I think of it?
Two on Sunday.
Two on Sunday. Either way, I mean, I guess strategy changes a little from an entire round, but I honestly had no idea that it even changed. I was even looking at a weather forecast for Monday thinking, you know, what's it look like if you happen to work your way into a playoff? So shows you what I know.
What do you think of the playoff format?
I just read about it at lunch. Two holes, right? Yeah, well, I saw about three people say that he didn't know, and I was like, well, I'm glad I read this because I didn't know either. If I have a chance to win the U.S. Open, I don't care if it's a two-hole playoff or a 72-hole tournament. I'll take a playoff right now.
Spieth doesn't need to check the forecast for Monday.
Not right now. Not how his performance
He does not need
today.
To worry too much about that. Is it interesting, more interesting, less interesting when scores are like this? Or does it matter? I mean, it's got great competition at the top of the leaderboard. It's just where the leaderboard is.
Well, the problem is I'm not so concerned about the scores necessarily, but if it's a situation where now you're removing some of the stars, then that is going to impact people's viewing of Saturday and Sunday. Because if they don't make it to Saturday and Sunday, you're going to have less viewership.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you got Sergio there. Does he count? Can we count him as a star? He's somebody everybody knows, at least.
Yes, but I don't know if he's going to move the needle.
There's nobody else up there, is there?
No.
I mean, who? I'm going to ask you guys in the three questions at three to pick a winner, so we'll check back on the leaderboard. But, you know, how do you do that based on this leaderboard? Oh, I think it's going to be Chun and you that wins. Theo Humphrey, that's my guy.
Chun and, that's one person.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just
that's one person. Those are among your leaders right now. Luke List. I mean, you know, the guys that drive, look, maybe Tiger has a great round. Maybe. He's just getting ready
to
start.
Yeah, we've got some guys that are just getting ready to tee off, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
could be somebody that hasn't teed off yet. But the big names have, other than Tiger.
By the way, Lucas Glover's played one hole, plus two. this is kind of a day I'm glad I'm not a golfer. Good grief. Good grief.
That's ugly.
It just is. It just is.
So you guys don't think you'd fit in out there right now?
Who? I mean, us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would be at...
After one, I'd be plus 5.
Plus 22 after, yeah. It's tough.
I saw one hole, I can't remember what hole it was, but it's a par 5, and it's 592 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's what these guys are facing.
Yeah, it's unbelievably difficult, and I don't know how much better it'll get over the weekend there. I don't think it's expected to get dramatic. I mean, it's not like it's raining or anything. The winds are going to hang around probably.
I think so, too.
So it's going to be a long weekend for these guys, but fascinating.
We'll see what Dustin Johnson.
He's just starting, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see what DJ can do, what Tiger Woods can do. Maybe they can tame this course. Very few people have shown the ability to do that so far. 844-477-3776. If you want to jump in the huddle, be right back on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. I know you've all been standing around wondering, what does Myles Garrett think about Kevin Durant? Right? I guess everybody comments on everything these days. So Myles Garrett, defensive end for the Cleveland Browns, was doing an interview on a Cleveland radio station today, this morning. And he was asked about Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors. I guess he was asked, unless he just brought it up. And his quote was, KD broke the league. He said Durant took the easy way out by joining a Warriors team that had gone 73-9 the previous season. LeBron James joining the Heat with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh was different, he said, because their success was not guaranteed and the Heat had to gel. Garrett said, with KD, you just stick him in and he scores. Well, didn't they have to gel a little bit?
Yes. I don't know where he's going with this.
No, he's absolutely right. He is completely right.
Why don't they have to gel too? Doesn't everybody have to kind of gel to be
Remember,
super
Golden
successful?
State lost the NBA Finals.
But they had won the year before.
It doesn't matter. They had lost. So it was not that all of a sudden they're just joining a team that's coming fresh off an NBA championship.
He joined a team that won how many games? 72? 73.
Yeah, I get that.
So your argument, no. He joined a front-running team, a team that had won more than anybody in the history of the NBA.
Okay, so we know that it's important to win as many games as possible, but what really matters? Does it matter if they would have won 82 regular season games and lost in the NBA Finals? No, it doesn't matter.
No, I agree with you
I
there.
I understand there's a front
KD
runner, but it's the NBA Finals. It's the NBA Finals.
You look in a dictionary, beside front runner, KD is the picture you will see forever.
Of course he is. My point, though, is that people need to understand that it's okay to try to go to a place that is the best. What's wrong with going to the best restaurant? What's wrong with looking at the best opportunity? And Myles Garrett, hey, you better be careful what you're saying right now. What happens in a few years? You become a free agent and you're making a decision of where you want to go?
We need him to go to a bad team, don't we?
Yes, exactly. He's setting himself up for
exposure. It doesn't mean the same in football, and you know that. Basketball is totally different. Totally different.
How is it any different?
Less players, more impact by one person one player.
A player who decides to go to the New England Patriots, how is he not vilified the same way?
He wouldn't be, though.
I know he wouldn't. And that's my point, is that why are we viewing it just this one way with the NBA?
Here's more of what Garrett said, Myles Garrett. He said, if I were him, I never would have made a move like that in the first place. Me, I'm too competitive to try and ride on somebody's coattails to get a W. But for him, you might as well stay at the spot you're at now. There's no point in leaving since you've already taken that moniker where he's been called the snake and cupcake and all that. You might as well just stay and keep on winning.
How do you spell Miles? Because he's my new favorite guy. I want to follow him on Twitter.
M-Y. It's with a Y.
That's
M-Y-L-E-S.
All right. I just followed him.
You love that, dude.
But Myles Garrett is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I didn't see Myles Garrett going playing at Texas San Antonio.
Well, no, that's right. I mean, that's why you work at ESPN Upstate, Lonzo. You don't have to go to the bad places.
Hey, as far as that goes, you and I were here from the beginning. We built this thing and made it what
it is
today. That's right. Why go somewhere else?
I just add a part to that. Whatever it is. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he can say what he wants.
Of course he can say what he wants. I have no problem with him having the ability to say what he wants.
I think it's very well said. And
there's some consequences.
I mean, you know, you expect football players to not be so well-spoken. Mm-hmm. And I think he's very, very making great points. I love this guy.
I'm not so sure why this dude in Cleveland is all upset about the Warriors and KD, though. I mean, it's not even his hometown team that he's talking about. Guys, he's mad that LeBron is losing?
He's probably sticking up for LeBron. Yeah.
Okay.
And what he's doing, he's building some rapport with the Cleveland fans.
Because they all feel that way?
Yes, of course they do.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely, they all feel that way.
From that point of view, I guess that makes sense. He's just, riding along on the hatred for Golden State and KD.
Well, and remember, he does play for the Browns, so any positive things he can get, he needs to take them before the season starts.
They're going to be better this year.
They are definitely going to be better.
They're going to be good, but
they can't be worse. So,
yeah.
Well, I guess technically they could, because they could not win a game this year.
Oh, man. Pretty ugly. When we come back, we're going to hear from another NFL player, and that is Deshaun Watson with the Houston Texans. He is ready to go for 2018 after losing more than half a season last year with an injury. We'll hear from Deshaun on how he feels. And Adam Schefter of ESPN will talk about how important Deshaun Watson is going to be to this Texans team. I can give you a hint. Really important. Really important. So that's coming up. Also, we're going to give you our interview with Tom Hart, ESPN, SEC Network. He will be the lead announcer for ESPN's coverage of the College World Series that starts on Saturday in Omaha. So get Tom's thoughts about these eight teams that are competing for a national baseball championship and who he says to watch for over the next couple of weeks. Interesting stuff there. That's all ahead. Stay with us. If you want to call us, 844-477-3776 as we head to hour number two. This is The Huddle. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.